And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. It's Rosie on the house. We're in the Outdoor Living Hour, where we talk about all things landscape, gardening, outdoor living, and your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. A few bullet points before we do get there. Good rain in parts of Arizona. Good time to turn off. Save a little water.
You bet. And a good time to, you know, if you've had maybe some sprinkler issues and you just weren't able to shut things off.
A couple brown spots maybe
them.
In your lawn.
Yeah, seeing lots of that. Just, I had one the other day. I just said, just go turn your sprinkler system while I'm here. Go turn it on. And she had a brown spot. I said, go out and stand in that spot. I said, are you getting wet? No. I said, well, neither is that grass. And that's why it's brown. You know, we looked around and she had a sprinkler head that was getting blocked. It was too low. So this would be a great time if you needed to raise a head or do some things while the system, you've got it off anyway. And it doesn't, there's no big hurry. It can be off for a few days. If you want to take all weekend to do this project, you can. So it's a great time to do that.
And when you said it's blocked, so the grass had grown up over the top of
grass
the sprinkler.
So the time it popped up, the grass was blocking it. And it really, the grass wasn't that long. Some cases, people just need to mow a little shorter. Although this time of year, we try and tell people to not mow quite so short, because that's a good water savings technique. A lawn that's a little bit longer can go longer, but it's shading itself. You know, the shorter you mow grass, a lot of times the more you have to water it. So if you've got an old system, those things settle and, you know, things that happen or the grass has grown a little bit deeper. You may have to raise a head or two because the grass is blocking it and it's not getting to where it needs to get. The throw of the spray is blocked. So,
and that's not a hard thing to do to raise a head. But if somebody's never done it before, if it was installed properly, it should be a threaded tee down there.
Correct.
And you got your water line and where the sprinkler head comes up.
So you can unscrew the sprinkler head. You almost have to dig away some soil to get it, you know, to make it easier to do. So unscrew it. There's a little riser that threads into that threaded tee and into the bottom of your sprinkler head. They make these cut-off risers that you can cut to about any length you want. They're cheap.
10 cents maybe.
Yeah, they're pennies almost. Yeah. So you know, go get a couple of those. You should have a couple of those on hand probably anyway. Replace the existing riser, which may only be an inch long or two, unthread it out of the old sprinkler head, thread the new one on, and you know, and if you've got the soil cut away, you can actually start with it at a certain length and look at it. Remember, you got to go over this with a lawnmower, so you don't want it too high.
Or you'll be back out there.
Or you'll be replacing the whole head, not just the riser. And get it, you know, so that when it pops up, it's clearing properly and it, you know, it's pretty simple.
Now, when you cut into a line or open a line like that, generally speaking, it's impossible to do it without some dirt falling in. And
good point.
It may come back up at that head or two or three sprinklers down, that dirt may clog it and you notice this head's not spraying well. Is there a way to change out the little filter without getting completely soaking wet? Because I can't get mine when the water's not on. So I've got to wait for the pressure to come up so I can grab the sprinkler head and untwist it.
Well, you can take the top of the head off and remove the nozzle and pull that out without it being on. Depending on the design of the head, you should be able to do that without it. You can pull that out yourself. Yeah.
Mine's kind of, the situation I'm talking about is pretty similar to yours, where everything is pretty overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
So without hacking and hacking away to be able to unturn them and untwist them. And
well, one thing I do, I just dig a great big hole.
Just get it over with.
I just dig a great big hole. I do it carefully so you can just put that sod right back in place. You can't tell it was even done. I remove all the soil way back away from that tee, threaded tee, to just minimize the chance that any soil is going to fall back in that. Then you put the riser on first so that you've got something up. You know, don't thread the riser into the sprinkler head and then screw it in. Put the riser in first so dirt doesn't fall into that open hole in the threaded tee, and then screw your sprinkler head back on it. And then generally what you should probably do before you screw this, before you screw the sprinkler, you've got the riser threaded in there, go turn it on real quick, flush it out, then put the sprinkler head on.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We'll move from Sprinkler Repair 101 to Apache Junction and see how we can help Gloria this morning.
Good morning. Yes, I would like to know, how do I legally dispose of or cut down and dispose of a large saguaro cactus that has seen its better days? It's at least 25 years old, because that's how long I've been in this location, and it's two of the arms in the past 5 years have actually fallen off, dropped on the ground, and it's a health hazard. It's a danger at this point in time.
Sure.
I know it's protected, so what's the best way to get rid of it?
So on personal property?
Yes, it's in my front yard.
You can cut it down.
Okay, because I remember when we moved here, like I say, at least 25 years ago, it had some kind of a registered tag on it.
It did, because the person that sold it, that harvested it from out in the desert somewhere, had to get a permit to do that. And
because
you can't just go out and dig up a saguaro or any native plant without getting a permit or permission to do that. So when they bought it, or the landscaper that put it in bought it, or the installer had to have a tag on that saguaro cactus. Now that it's on your property and you're just going to cut it down, you can do that. If you were going to sell it to someone and transport it somewhere, then you get into some situations where it's out on the public road and somebody could stop you. But if you're just cutting it down, there's no issue.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that information.
1-888-767-4348 as we clear a line. That's a perfect opportunity to get on the line. And there are people that do professionally move saguaros. It may be worth making a few calls to see if somebody wants that saguaro.
There are, and I have the name. I have a name of a gentleman who does. If she wants to call me, I could give her that name.
He may look at it and say, this is still in great condition. I can pull this out and sell it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wouldn't cost her anything.
And she wouldn't have to have a big pile of cut-up saguaro cactus sitting in her front yard till bulk trash came along to get it. Yeah.
That would take more than one bulk pickup, too, probably. Those things are heavy.
Ooh, that's a lot of stuff.
Kimball in East Mesa with an apricot tree. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thank you. We were on vacation up in Utah and picked up a bunch of a box full of apricots and made some fruit leather and dried apricots, and I just wasn't sure what can I grow them here? Can I try to plant the pits?
Well, let me tell you a couple of pitfalls you might run into. Number one, the variety of apricot that you bought in Utah may or may not do very well here, depending on its chill requirements and when it ripens, etc. That's the first problem. The big problem is the fact that if you plant any type of fruit tree like that from seed, it probably is not going to come true to variety anyway. It may not even produce fruit. It may be, you don't know what you're going to get. Fruit trees are grafted or budded. They take the scion wood off of, a desirable apricot tree and bud it or graft it onto a rootstock, and that's how they get the desirable fruit that they're choosing. So, number one, it's not the right way to grow an apricot tree. Number two, even if it did, it may or may not work here anyway.
Okay.
So if you want a really good apricot tree this late fall, early winter, go to your favorite nursery and look for or one that does well here, Katy or Blenheim or Royal. There are some good varieties of apricots that do well here.
In Mesa, you have Treeland Nursery on Country Club. There's A&P Nursery out there farther to the east. Well, they have one in Queen Creek as well. So there's a few locally owned companies that you can.
Yep, absolutely.
To Nick's credit, the first thing he said to me was, I don't see too many of them growing here. So, and that's always kind of what Jay says. You know, look around, look in the medians of the highway, look in people's yards, what grows around. But just last week we talked about kind of, I'm not supposed to use the word invasive. What am I supposed to say? Intrusive plants, like the sisu tree, and how what a challenge that is. I had a couple calls this week. One was about a sweet lady from Tucson, elderly, and she's fighting this thing called a tree from heaven, but she has renamed it.
A tree from the other place?
Yeah, the other place. So she was asking how to take care of that.
And it's tree of heaven, Atlantis.
Yes, you're right.
And boy, the aside from trying to dig it up, if you can, like we do with the sisus, cut them off pretty low to the ground and then apply. There are products out there for killing brush and stump. I just use undiluted glyphosate or Roundup in full strength with a like a paintbrush or a sponge, so I don't get it anywhere on the soil or anywhere it shouldn't go, right on that freshly cut end of that stump. And sometimes you have to do that a time or two, but it will take care of it.
Do you recut it each time you use it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It should be applied on freshly cut wood, yes.
Okay. I'll give her a call, make sure that she, poor thing, she had 7 bags of it the other day.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot. Let's bring Nick from Tucson into the conversation and see how we can help him with his citrus tree. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have two questions, if I may. One is it safe to spray Surfland underneath citrus trees? What I'm concerned about, will the tree absorb the Surfland? And the other question is this the time to spray for weeds with Surfland?
Well, Surfland is a pre-emergent.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say spray for weeds, you would be spraying to prevent weeds.
Yes, that's what I meant
with Surfland. And so Surfland can go on any time, and from the time that it's applied and absorbed into the soil, it will form a barrier and start preventing weeds from that day forward for however long its effective length of time is. So it starts being effective the day you put it on, and will be effective. It will not control any weeds that have already come up. So the ideal time to apply any pre-emergent is prior to both of our rainier or wetter seasons. So sometime in late winter or, you know, early spring fall prior to our winter rainy season, and then spring prior to our monsoon season. So those would be the best times, but there's always an effective period after you put it on. As far as under edibles, you know, quite honestly, I would have to reread the directions. I don't remember. I don't recall. As far as I know, it's okay, but I would want to check that.
He sure dropped the name of the brand enough. You think that was a Surfland salesman that called in just trying to
Yeah, well, Surfland is the, you know, the trademark and or the protective rights have been off of that for a long time, just like Roundup is generic anymore. So you'll find Surfland
usually in the industrial places.
Lots of things, but that active ingredient you might find in something called Weed Stopper or Weed Preventer. It's Orzalin, I believe, is the active ingredient in that. And, you know, you can find it in a number of different named products.